Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets and another exciting week, not only just in the metals markets, but markets closely associated. Without further ado, Miles, if you can jump in and give us a weekly recap.
Sure. Let's take a little look here at what the precious metals and a couple adjacent markets have done this week, with gold up about 0.6%. Currently, at time of recording on a Wednesday afternoon, we're sitting at $2,935 at the moment. But gold was as high as around $2,947 this past week. So we did see gold put in a new all-time high, and we've slid back off of that just a little bit. Silver, not to be outdone, up 1.4% on the week at $32.77. And silver got as high as about $33.40 this week. So silver had a pretty strong week, outdoing gold by a little bit and bringing that ratio back under 90, currently sitting at around 89-1. Taking a quick look at the other white metals, platinum, the big loser this week, down 6.3%. But we did start our week last Thursday at the October high of 1,053. So platinum actually had a pretty strong week last week, ending on Thursday at a multiple month high here. And even though we're on a little bit of a pullback on the platinum price, I think we're seeing good things ahead for the white metal. Palladium, dead flat, started at 990, ended at 990, and that's where we sit right now. But palladium was as high as 1,035, and at one point was up about 5%. So we're seeing some pretty consistent, volatile, but consistent movement up in both platinum and palladium. Finally, the S&P put in a new all-time high, up 1.3%, hit 6,143 at the moment, and like I mentioned, did put in a new high. The S&P chart is beautiful. It's a beautiful stair-step chart up that you guys are looking at here now, so that's been enjoyable just to kind of watch something play out that clean. And finally, all of this hinging on the back of the U.S. dollar, down about 0.5%, currently sitting at 107.1, and I would argue it's just continuing and confirming that downtrend in the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar right now. So honestly, besides a couple little expectations here in the market charts, I really don't see anything worth pointing out except for what I mentioned there on the S&P. However, underneath the charts, we have a very important concept I like to call supply and demand. And I really think everything in the financial world falls back on the shoulders of supply and demand. So guys, I think given what's going on in the precious metals market this week, I think we need to talk a little bit of supply and demand.
There's a scramble. People are scrambling. I'm looking at gold lease rates that have skyrocketed in the last few weeks, starting from close to zero to 0.25% to borrow gold, anywhere from a month to a year. Those rates are now anywhere from 3%. Maybe you can borrow it at 2% if you just borrow it for 6 months, but 3 to 3.75% lease rates, like I said, starting from almost zero a few weeks ago. So there is a short covering in the big world. Money flowing into ETFs from Europe and Asia has skyrocketed, but not here in America. I mean, we're looking at ETFs for gold like BlackRock. It's flat, you know, at around $30 million. But for cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, it peaked at $60 million down to $50 million, and that is a steady climb. So people are a lot more interested in cryptos and leveraging than they are in something stable like gold. But the big players are buying gold. Somebody's scrambling.
Explain leasing real quick, because we've talked about dollar leasing. We know a number of years ago, pre-COVID, there was a huge problem with overnight leasing in the dollar market. Mm-hmm. Now we're looking at gold leasing. Give people a little understanding of what leasing is and what role it serves.
Well, two end users for leasing, you know, people at ETFs will lease gold for a period of time, depending upon the money that's flowing into their exchange-traded funds. Other operators, big corporate dealers and market makers in gold, will borrow gold for a year to capitalize their operation. Back in the day, in fact, less than 3 months ago, you could borrow gold for close to 0% interest per year, pay the fee to get the loan docs built, and you could borrow several tons of gold at less than 0.5% per year, cheaper than going to the bank and borrowing money.
Because it was just sitting there not doing anything.
Right. But now
very
suddenly.
Very little interest, right.
Yeah, very little interest. But now suddenly what's happening between London and New York, the central bank demand, people are worried about sanctions or tariffs. Is gold going to be tariffed in retaliation to other things? So they're pulling their gold to their countries. They don't want to leave it in New York. They don't want to leave it in London. Everybody's scrambling for physical gold. But that's the big players. You know, you look at the commitment of traders in the hedge fund industry. They're still long almost 250,000 contracts, and there's only short 27,000 contracts. So the aggressive money, the hedge funds, are long gold. ETFs in Europe and Asia, like I said, are exploding. Lease rates for gold have suddenly skyrocketed. But the American public still hasn't caught on to the fact that gold is going so much higher. And now Elon Musk and Doge want to go audit Fort Knox. That's not going to end well. That's going to end very badly. If we have 8,100 tons, who lays claim to that? Is the Fed laying claim to the $850 billion worth of gold versus the $36 trillion of debt as collateral? And then what is $850 billion versus $36 trillion? It's a fraction. And people are thinking, well, this government's going to back the dollar with gold. How are they going to do that? They don't own enough to do that. Gold would have to go up 42 times just based on what the government says they own at Fort Knox versus just the debt itself, not the outstanding money supply, not the, you know,
derivatives market.
Not the. There's so many notthas. If you just value the gold versus the debt, it's a 42 multiplier.
And that's if you're going to back it 1-to-1, though. You know, some of the theories are that they would back it by, you know, just a fraction of the dollar with gold. To me, the hesitation there is we're still the world reserve currency. And in order to meet the demand as the supplier of the world's reserve currency, you need to be able to print in a sense. And if you're shackled, then that also has ripple effects to the global economy in a sense. That's why you haven't had a replacement, and that's why you won't have one in a short term. And now you've got Trump coming against the BRICS nations. They can try all they want, but it's a multi-decade approach to trying to have an alternative to the U.S. dollar as a world reserve currency.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if they're backing theirs with some sort of tangible commodity, you know, a basket of it or whatever else.
Yeah, but, you can't get three people to agree on anything sitting down in a room. You've got 100 BRICS countries trying to all figure this out. And most of them, you know, are just autocrats and dictators.
Yeah, and a lot of the physical supply issues, too, have to do with delivery on contracts. So we talked about that. It's not just the ETF buying. So as ETF buying has ramped up globally, again, the outflows of ETFs in the United States is a real thing.
Yeah.
In Europe and in Asia, it's an inflow. And so you have to have a physical backing of those instruments, just like you do with the futures market.
Or trust evaporates.
Yes. So you have all these long contracts that you guys have described over the last few weeks, that requires more physical. The ETFs require more physical. And on top of that, you have people taking delivery of contracts, which if you own a 100-ounce plus contract, you can take kilos or 100-ounce bars. And that's really spiked.
Yeah.
Okay. And so all of that is having an effect on top of the Fort Knox audit, on top of Scott Bessent saying that they want to monetize the asset side, like whatever that looks like, adjust the price of gold because the central bank has valued it at
42
bucks, and something. Here it is at 2,942. So that certainly helps the balance sheet a little bit.
But even if you do it at 2,942, it's still less than 850 billion.
Well, and you need more ounces. Again, I mean,
where's that part gonna come from?
Exactly. And you've already had mining supply issues because it hasn't been profitable to mine. It's getting more profitable now. Oil prices come down, gold price goes up, it's better, but you still have such aggressive, you know, environmental restrictions and regulations and pocket lining with all the middlemen involved from bureaucrat to, you know, the shareholder. But all that being said, we really are going to potentially see a much worse physical demand, but we're not seeing it in our market. We have not seen premiums lower. And Rob, you've talked about this. Miles, you've talked about this. But even gold American Eagles, in all my years here, I've never seen the premiums this low.
They're really low.
Bidding. I mean, buying back lower than a 1 ounce gold bar right now. That's how soft the premium market is.
But you can buy a gold eagle for less than $3,150, and you can buy 100-year-old Saints and Liberty certified high grade, good grade, 63, 64 for $100 more a coin. I've never seen that. We're talking a 3% premium more for a 100-year-old certified rarity than just a regular gold eagle. So premiums have come down so far.
This is where that supply and demand issue comes from, because think about it this way. When Attila the Hun rides into town, they don't go door to door first. They go to the stockpiles. You know, you start at the stockpiles and then you move out and start banging on doors to get the crumbs. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing in the metals market. You know, Tori, you aggregated some articles and some charts together and shot them over to me a couple days ago, like you were just talking about the exodus of gold leaving London and coming into the U.S. markets. Mm-hmm. So is it not a surprise that on top of that, after weeks and weeks of us pointing out the COT report, just how between 10 and 20 times the amount of short contracts to long for weeks, gold buying on a grand scale has been out of control for months.
Really, since the election.
With the big money.
Yeah, but the physical metals have been leaving London since 2022. Also, a lot of people don't realize that.
And now we're seeing the leasing.
Now we're seeing the leasing issue.
I think it's a scary mix of the organizations or nations that have a mandatory gold reserve percentage. I still remember us having this conversation a couple months before COVID happened in 2019, where we were watching the dollar leasing world in the banking industry blow up. The overnight lending rate on the US dollar went from like a quarter of a percent to like 8.5% overnight.
Yeah.
And we all thought the banking system was going to melt down. And then just like our own little burning of the Reichstag, all of a sudden, we had a crisis that diverted all of our attention another direction.
COVID hit, and it saved that market.
It saved that market.
The flooding of money was something that was very beneficial for the repo market.
Right, because everybody went home, and the velocity of money died.
How coincidental.
How coincidental. It's amazing. And now we're seeing the exact same chain of events starting to take place in the precious metals markets. And what's going to happen when the stockpile runs dry and the people who have to keep those reserve positions filled? And because people are actually drawing on the stockpile. Like, that's the scary thing. You don't lease gold unless you have to fulfill a reserve requirement or you have to fulfill a mandatory holding position to pay out on your futures contracts, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So what happens when enough gold has been delivered out of the COMEX? Because let's be honest, guys, who's taken gold out of the COMEX?
Big money.
Yeah. Who's taken 100-ounce gold bars for delivery?
Big money, banks, hedge funds.
Right.
Individuals with deep pockets.
I've got a few individuals with deep pockets that are taking delivery.
And here's the thing.
Thousands of ounces.
The big money always knows before the little money.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Rob, we talked about this. Gold is the canary in the coal mine singing a song right now that we're trying to decipher the tune. And to me, it's like, look, if the huge money is doing something, like central bank money, sovereign entity money, major hedge fund money is doing it.
Deep pockets money.
Yes. Then what in the world are you doing selling your physical gold? Go sell your ETFs. If you think that this is profit-taking time because you've seen this run up, look, this may dwarf. It only has to go up another 34% and we're at $4,000. Like, that's mind-boggling.
Yeah, we almost did that last year.
No, we've done that, Miles, in 12 months.
I guess we have, yeah.
We have. We've almost
doubled. These last couple of months.
You put up that beautiful S&P 500 chart, put that up with gold, and look at what's done better.
There you
go. We've almost doubled the S&P 500 with a similar chart, and it gets no attention because it's not an asset under management. But you know what? Again, why is the big money backstopping? Why would you be selling your physical gold when the global demand
is hugely increasing.
Yes,
it's at a rate dwarfing that, supply.
Yes.
It's causing people to scramble. London, last time I checked, was weeks and weeks behind on fulfilling delivery orders.
8 weeks.
And you know one thing? Speaking of the S&P, one of my favorite ratios going back over 30 years is the Dow Gold ratio. And that ratio peaked in 2021 at 20 ounces of gold to the Dow. It was actually over 40 ounces in 1999. We're down to 15 ounces of gold equaling the Dow, and that trend is narrowing. So we will see an opportunity as gold continues to catch up with the Dow Jones and the other indices. We're on our way to a 10 to 1 ratio, and I think it's going to get better than that, where it only takes 10 ounces of gold to equal the Dow.
That's right. And for the listener, you're just literally just taking the Dow at 44,500 or whatever, dividing by the gold price,
right,
2930. You'll know when it's time to be selling your gold and moving into the equities.
Right.
That's in the single digits.
Now, see, that's the important thing. People are selling gold because they think it's at an all-time high, but compare it to real things like the industrial average, which is a legitimate.
Yeah.
We'll tell you.
You said real things.
It is.
So what you're saying is pricing in U.S. dollars, U.S. dollars aren't an actual real thing, Rob?
No, they're not. But the Dow Jones Industrials, I mean, that's going back over 120 years. That's something you can hang your hat on. So there's going to be some opportunities, but gold is going a lot higher. If $4,000 blows your mind, wait till we get to $6,000 or $8,000. And we're going beyond that. And I sound like a rabid gold bug, but there's just not enough money to cover the fact that this administration has to refinance $28 trillion in the next 4 years.
Rob, you just said something that just struck me. There's not enough money. Meaning there's not enough gold either to meet the demand. It can be the same percentage as in prior crises. This is not even really a major crisis at this point,
right?
We're just getting started. The problem is gold is only $2,900 an ounce. You know how much money has been created in the last 15 years since the financial crisis? Trillions of dollars. So the same percentage of dollars moving into gold sucks the market dry because gold isn't at 10,000 an ounce. It's not at 12,000 where it should be.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's not enough money, meaning there's not enough gold to meet the demand of all of the
money. Thank you for correcting me because that is exactly what I was trying to say.
It's just not enough. Dwarf the gold market.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's when people lose confidence. And that's my central theme forever and ever. Why do people buy gold? Because they're losing confidence. Why are people not buying gold right now? Because they are gaining confidence. They're like, hey, we can breathe again. The adults are in charge. But the adults have uncovered a lot of fraud and corruption. We're just getting started, and the rock is big that we have to push uphill.
The gold price is kind of the cartoon teetering on the edge of the cliff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at this gold leasing issue, and the reason why this is such a big issue is we're seeing the rampant increase in the gold leasing because there is currently not enough physical metal to provide for the demand. I mean, Tori, one of the charts you sent me this past week, 19,000 ounces of gold coming out of just the New York City holdings for the COMEX in
a single month. That's 19,000 contracts. That's 190,000 ounces.
Yeah, sorry, 19,000
contracts. No, 1.9 million ounces.
Well, 1.9 million.
Yeah. Keep adding zeros, boys.
Yes.
We got, yeah.
Yeah,
just
I
keep
had to
going.
Take my boots off. Sorry.
We've never seen that. No, it's
and
hard.
That's just
like,
out
I get
of
sticker shock every time I have a
it's
conversation.
It's not 10 to 1, it's 100
yeah.
to 1.
Yeah. It's 100 to 1, 100 ounce contracts.
Yeah.
Just January.
Since January.
So the leasing, the borrowing of gold to fulfill those reserve requirements are making the assumption that the draw on physical metal will go away before all the contracts end up coming due.
And the COT report is telling you that.
And the COT report is telling us.
People don't think that's going to happen.
They don't think that's going to happen. And when the buying public gets more enamored with having gold in their hands than a crypto on their computer, Katie, bar the door.
Boys, there is a breaking point here that I can't see yet, but we all watched it happen in 2009, 10, 11.
Yeah.
And we know what happens when the general public gets involved because it is as big as the big boys are. you take 5% of the population that all decide to buy gold at the same time, market's done. It's over at that point.
Yeah.
There's no product available. And then they all move to silver. And then there's no silver available, and the gold-silver ratio is at 40 to 1. You know, it's like these, it's a logical progression of events that starts with Attila the Hun rides into town and starts pulling bushels of corn out of the stockpile. But he's got to feed his whole army. And if the whole army shows up, they're going to start going door to door. And that's when coin prices start going up. Junk silver starts going up. When it starts making its way out into the bits and bobs here and there, you know, the $10,000 gold portfolios, the $50,000 gold portfolios, when it starts making its way out into the little stuff, yeah, that's when you see that kind of the rampant greed turns to fear, panic.
Well, you can buy bags of junk silver cheaper than 1,000-ounce bars.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You can buy 100-year-old silver dollars for the same price per ounce as a silver eagle.
Yeah.
They're several dollars. I mean, they're like $8 cheaper than a silver eagle, but when you adjust for the content, they're the same price per ounce. You can buy $20 gold pieces, certified, good grade, threes and fours, and we can talk about this, $100 more. Or you can buy ones and twos for $50 less. I mean, it's just the availability is there. We know the price is going higher, and Americans are still relaxing that the adults are in charge. And they are. But
until they're not.
Well, I think the plan is good. I'm hopeful and I am optimistic, but I see how big the rock is. And I think that's one of the reasons why this administration is relentless in trying to uncover graft and fraud, cut the budget, because they know, they see the numbers, they're businessmen. They're like, this is a lot worse than we anticipated, but they're not telling you that.
Well, it might not be. It could just all magically go away in the next couple of weeks, and then they can fulfill those contracts and everybody can, you know, pay their leases off and the market just settles back into normal trading. That is what everybody's hoping for. You know, that's the whole point of Keynesian economics, right? Where if you can just kind of push it a little too far, but not too far for too long, eventually things sort of settle themselves back into a routine. And I'm actually a big fan of Keynesian economics if people actually didn't just use it as an excuse to hold your foot on the gas pedal as hard as possible for as long as possible. But maybe that's a discussion for a different show. Well,
Keynesian economists would be happy with the Doge current statement, you know, with Elon Musk coming out saying, hey, let's give a tax dividend of $5,000 per taxpayer. And it's like, no, we can't do that again. We did that with COVID stimulus and it drove inflation sky high. So my vote is no. Don't do that. If you are going to do it, make it commiserate with the proportion that somebody paid in or didn't pay in for once. Make it a relative type of a situation. But we don't need to be stimulating that way. That's where it gets out of control. They're walking a fine line of tightening the belt and not suppressing the economy too much, but also not driving things much, much higher with inflation. But all of that is, again, good for gold. If that happens, it's still good for gold.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of $8,000 or $9,000 gold. I just know it's going there, but I know what it means. When your gold is skyrocketing, that means things aren't looking great.
Well, for those of us that would love to see us go back on a gold backing the current way we are, I think it's more like $250,000 gold, if you do the math, Rob. But I'll take eight or nine in the meantime.
Well, and what happens to our industry, too? Be careful what you wish for. Last time, they shut the industry down, yep. Right? So the common citizen could not buy, sell, trade, right. Own, hold.
Right.
Private gold. It was illegal. They need yeah. every ounce they can get. So for all of you gold bugs that are out there cheering.
$250,000 for their that's right. That's, we get nothing.
That's the revaluation. That goes back 120 years.
Careful what you wish for.
Well, my apologies for sounding wild-eyed and hairy, but I'm looking at the future and it's much higher gold price.
Or everything's just going to settle down in a month and it'll all be fine. It's one or the other.
Right? I'll take a breather. I would love to see gold back up a couple hundred bucks, but
yeah, a couple more weeks of this. And I think you're right, Rob. I think there's the potential for things sort of spiraling out of control again at this point. And then we're looking at probably some type of market correction that is going to margin call on contracts, and then probably 2 to 5 years of a significant gold bull market. And boy, doesn't this sound like 2005 to 2012 again.
It does. I'm glad you just said that. That's when we'll know. If they raise margin requirements in the gold futures, that's when you're going to know there is real risk in the market.
Yep.
That's when they're pushing out the speculator. Miles, we saw that with silver.
Good point.
Remember in 2013 when you were out on vacation? All right, just kidding. That was me.
But that was you.
They raised margin requirements in silver and Miles was holding down the fort.
I think everybody was at the lake except for me that day. And the price of silver, gold drops like $85 in one day. And all of your clients called at the exact same time.
Yeah. Silver was down about 6% in two trading days. So
yeah.
Raising margin requirements is an effective tool to flush out the speculator, but I'm not sure that that's what's going on right now. So
hey, you know what? Now silver goes up and down 6% every week. It's not even fun to watch anymore. It's getting boring at this point.
Up over 14% in 2025. Gold's up over 11% in 2025. Unsustainable sort of trajectory, but that's for the long term. It could certainly continue for the short and intermediate terms.
Yeah,
true. Well, I certainly appreciate anybody out in listener land who happened to stick with us for this very much longer than normal discussion this week. We appreciate it. But it is fun for us when we see a couple of things coming together. You know, the big thing for charts for me has always been I'm looking for various indicators all lining up at the same price on the same time frame, and that adds credence to certain arguments. Well, guess what? That same thought process can get extended out into the political, the economic, the geopolitical, and the international economic. And I think that's what we're seeing right now in the gold world in general. So this isn't just about price movements up and down. And I know everybody wants to know when gold's going to hit a certain US dollar price, but boy, to see some of these things all coming together at the same time is fascinating to me. So appreciate you guys sticking with us. If you haven't tuned out yet, I know it's been a long show. And if you are around, feel free to do the normal YouTube thing. Throw us a question in the comments. We always appreciate that. Better yet, why not give Tori, myself, Rob, anybody here at ICA a call? And we're happy to chat with you about your personal investment portfolio and how to take advantage of some of these price movements and some of the types of products that Rob was talking about here a moment ago. There are some screaming deals in the precious metals market right now if you're actively looking for them. So definitely reach out to us. We can be phoned at 800-525-9556. You can also find some additional information on our website. We are at McElveny.com. We're at Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McElveny Financial. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great week.